Okay, guys, this week's podcast is going to be just a little bit different than the ones in the past. Corey and I just wanted to formally apologize. I know that this has been talked about a lot recently, and I think it is important that we talk about it here. Just kidding. We wanted to talk about apologizing in business. Look at you all with your popcorn.
Yeah, you guys are like turning up the volume.
You are running to their microwaves.
Popcorn, go get your butter.
Everyone's like, ah, man. Okay, but before we jump into today's exciting topic, Corey, what is this? Other than clickbait.
This is the Baking It Down podcast with Sugar Cookie Marketing. What is Sugar Cookie Marketing? It's a group on Facebook. We're almost, I think, over 41,000 bakers that are looking to grow their bakery with tips, tricks, and trends that are going on. At the end of the day, sugar cookies consist of the main ingredient, sugar, flour, and butter. But what happens in the business world of baking is always changing, from new styles that are coming out, how to deal with customers. And that is what we discuss here on the podcast each week.
With a marketing nugget.
Got it in there.
Okay. Well, let's just, I gotta tell you guys that Corey has been saving me from roadside.
First off, who knows what a road gator is?
Well, okay. I had an ex-boyfriend and he told me what a road gator was. You know when the tread comes off a tire and it kind of lays in the pavement? It looks like a little alligator back. So my whole life, I point him out so much that every time Corey and I go to the beach together, she'll be like, don't say it. And I'll be like, there's a road gator. Anyways, we got bit.
We got gatored.
Corey took me to the shop earlier on Thursday. Again, it's down in Middle Ohan, which is about, what was it, over almost 2 hours
away? Yes.
There's the ever-loving car. They fixed the problem.
Listen, I just want to tell you.
Driving
Heather
back.
Wants stuff done instantly. Like, she doesn't, she has no kids. She
I
has
also
no
have
husband.
No car.
And she was like, yeah, hey, my car's done. That's all the text said. My car's done.
You know why you say it like that? Why people say that? Because they want you to say
like,
yes.
What if I'm like,
and they don't want
no,
you to
thank
say
you.
No.
Good for you.
That's why I didn't give you a yes or no.
And I said, Nate, she's texting me without asking. She's literally
I
just
hate rejection,
me.
So I don't ask questions in the
what
way.
What are you going to do? I thought you were going to rent a car and go get it yourself.
No.
So Heather's like, my car's done. And I was like, okay, let's get it next week. Or let's get it on the weekend when I'm not working.
They're
she's
closed.
Like, can't closed.
So Corey says, definitely not on the Monday it was done. The shop immediately fixed it. So I have to call and be like, my mom says we can go on first date. So Thursday, we set sail to, and Corey is very gracious. It was such a long drive. And we get the car. Okay, got PTSD of the whole thing, staring at the engine temperature sensor gauge, making sure that this thing. But then,
so
bam,
I said,
all the cars in front of
listen,
me.
Listen,
Corey,
I said, no,
they don't care about the car.
I said, I'm going to follow behind you because I don't know where we are. So Heather likes to just like, just a speed limit, never heard of her. She's we're flying.
The whole I have of to 95
keep,
is flying.
I have to keep up with her because I'll lose her if I blink.
All right. Corey's car is basically new enough that it drives itself. Mine's old enough that it can't drive at all.
So Heather's trying to race home so she gets a breakdown again.
What does that sound?
I don't know. I think it's a cat.
Okay. So you know that split-second decision when the cars in front of you start veering off the road violently.
But you're all going 80 miles.
We're all going 80, and I look up to see an SUV run over a road gator, kicking it into the – I just – the sound it made.
Now
the
this sound road it made. Gator is a sky gator because he is in the air.
He's flying towards us at an equal 80 miles per hour in the opposite direction.
And you're like, oh, no, think semi-truck lost
it
a
is
whole.
Definitely it was like, the longest road gator
it's
I've ever
longest,
seen.
The longest
if
gator.
If I hadn't been hitting it, I would have pointed it out and said that would have been the longest road gator. It slaps in front of my car. The thing is so thick, I can feel it running under the floorboard.
Yeah, because it's like
where
roll,
my feet are.
It's rolling
got,
up.
It's got girth to it.
It
wraps around my rear tire.
Listen, I'm right behind Heather.
The thing
Heather.
Is
the
now
thing,
launched.
The thing is coming at me so fast. All I could do was close my eyes and hear the damage. Listen to the damage of my car.
I look in my rear view. One, startled myself. Immediately, the windscreen of my car fogs because of the sheer heat my
You're
body.
Talking about windshield. Why do you call it windscreen?
They're the same thing, you little twat. Immediately fogs over. I have to put defrost on only to look at my review and see this road gator plasters in front of Corey's car.
Listen, You guys know I care about my car so much. What it did. Yeah. You know, there's like a plastic part where like your little fog lights go. It booped it back in. Like it slapped it. It slapped it so hard across the face that it booped it back in. So my husband tries to use the butter knife.
You little mechanic, Nate. Okay, well, you know how awkward it is to be like, thank you so much for the ride. After that happened.
I was even thinking that must be awkward for you. Like, sorry, I broke your car. It wouldn't have been broken if you hadn't been
needless to say, I woke up the next morning to find out it ripped the paint off the bumper of my car.
It did.
And then because, you know, this is over my pay grade, fixing engines, I shipped it out. Let somebody else. They're texting me right now. Little what pictures. They said you're the first car in the new shop we just built.
Good great. Luck. You're going to be paying for it.
Yeah, right. Okay, so back to apologizing. I had a conversation with a member in the Cookie College. And, you know, somebody had said, hey, I'm having this client issue, which is a little bit easier to deal with in college because there's only 1,000 members. So we're able to really kind of dig in there.
But basically what you're saying is the comments won't be turned off.
Yeah, I don't turn off the comments over there because we can kind of manage and have a conversation back. When you have 40,000 people.
It's hard.
It's hard, you know. So with, you know, under 1,000, it's a lot easier to be like, hey, let's kind of dig into this. Uh-huh. So essentially the same thing that always happens. The client was upset. How do I deal with it?
Yeah.
So I lead in with my copy, like, this is what I would say in the situation. And it leads with, hey, I would like to apologize, you know, that your experience wasn't, you know, what you wanted it to be. And then another member said, hey, I'm so curious why you always say you're sorry. And I was like, that is a great question, because she goes on to say, you know, I'm told that women apologize a lot. In fact, we apologize too much. And it leads us into these places where your boundaries are getting knocked over, your blame game, and you're just kind of this rug that
my
people walk all
like,
over.
Went Corey missed the memo.
Where he's not apologizing enough. And I've seen it. I think this is touching the table. Could you just pull it back a little bit? Thank you. And that's that too.
It's not touching at all.
So what happens, and I see it in the main group as well, is people are like, I will never apologize. Apology is weakness. Apology is accepting accountability. Apology. But I'd wager this. And here's my big proposition. Imagine you are married to somebody who refused to ever apologize. Mm.
Rick.
That would be a rough, rough relationship, because if you don't apologize, you force the other person to take on the weight of their emotions. Mm-hmm. So this is what me and the member talked about, which I thought was a really healthy conversation, is the apology that she's referring to. I agree. Let's get it out of our vocabulary. I'm sorry you're not happy because you pushed over a boundary of mine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I can't please you. Those types of apologies are what I would eradicate from my vocabulary, definitely in the workplace and even at home. If somebody pushes your boundaries, you're not sorry that they did that. Mm-hmm. But the apology that I would implement into my business is, I'm sorry that your experience wasn't what you wanted it to be, but here is why this happened this way.
I think a lot of people say, when you say you're sorry, you admit fault.
Yes.
And it's not always. Did you see the way that Heather worded it? I'm sorry your experience wasn't what you expected. You know, something like that, versus I'm sorry you're not happy.
I'm sorry I did something wrong.
Yeah.
So we're not apologizing for being wrong or doing something wrong. We're apologizing for that person's emotions. And I heard this from a therapist once. Your emotions are valid even if somebody else doesn't agree with them. So Corey and I could stare – this is what the therapist went on to say. We could stare at the same car accident, but we'd be on different sides of the street. From both of our perspectives, each other car was at fault. So Corey, I'd say, well, the red car ran the light. But I'd say, no, the blue car was speeding. Mm-hmm. She couldn't see the blue car, and nor could I see the red car. Our experiences are both accurate, even though they're the exact opposite. So that apology that I would like to keep into my business is, sorry that your experience, sorry that the emotion you're feeling is the one that you felt.
Yeah.
Sorry it wasn't one of the positive emotions. Sorry it was a negative emotion. Mm-hmm. And then let's work through that emotion to find a common ground that satiates both your emotion and my lack of fault, but still acknowledging that, hey, I can help you through this.
Yeah.
And I know it's a subtle nuance, because essentially we're saying, don't say sorry, but apologize.
Yeah.
And that's confusing, but it's the intention of the apology. What are you apologizing for? Mm-hmm. And that would be okay if we take it back to relationships. Let's say you and Nate got in a butter knife fight. I don't know what you guys are doing with your butter knives. And he's like, you know, well, you hurt my feelings. Okay, if you say, I'm sorry, that would mean that you were mean.
I hurt your feelings on purpose.
Right. If you say, I'm sorry that what I said was taken that way,
yeah,
would mean what I said is what I meant, but how you took it wasn't my intention. So it is a subtle art of the apology.
It is.
But it is a necessary art to have a great business experience for your customers.
Right.
We are not perfect. What? I am Corey. What? Corey is not perfect.
Seems to me.
Corey's front bumper is not perfect. We're not perfect. So keeping an apology in the holster of tools that we get to use is great. When you are at fault, 100%. I'm so sorry. That's like, you know, when you forgot somebody's order once. Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. What if we couldn't apologize for your 100% at faultness?
What would
that sound like? Walk me through it.
Like, I would feel super.
I'm sorry you placed an order with an idiot. So give me some.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah, you got on your phone real quick.
We were texting. There's something wrong with the card. I need to text it back.
Okay, what's wrong?
I thought it was odd that two of your spark plug wires were different from the rest. But overall, the car is very clean, aside from some bumps and bruises. Send a picture of something I don't know what it is.
I don't even know what half those words mean.
To me, apologizing doesn't necessarily mean someone's wrong. If something happens, if I bring something to your attention, mm-hmm. you know, I never say like, I'm really looking for an apology here. But if I'm like, hey, this cupcake was a little bit dry, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. If you were like,
your mouth is dry.
All the other ones I made this week weren't dry.
Now I know this is a little bit of like psychological. It's not as like, you know, make a business, Google my business profile. This is podcast is kind of more cognitive. If someone says, a lot of times, if you're like me and you don't want to face rejection, you don't ask for refunds directly. You ask for rides.
You don't ask for rides. You just say,
the car happens to be ready immediately and I have places I need to go. So what the client does when they say, hey, just wanted to let you know, one, just is an indicator that somebody has something that they want, but they're scared to say it. So I've been trying to remove just from my, like, get my car. I just want to let you know, Cardi. If somebody says, hey, just want to let you know that the cupcake was a little dry, what they're saying is there's an issue. How do you want to resolve it? When you say, no, it's not. I tried it before I sent it out. One, are you guys trying all this stuff before you send it out?
I don't test.
Are you guys all testing?
Some people act everybody. Like they do. I do not.
I have an eyebrow raise. So when you tell them, no, it's not dry. What are the client's options?
Now you've called them a liar.
You did. And you told them they have bad taste. Something's wrong with your mouth and you need to go to the doctor.
Yeah. So you called them a liar so they only can get defensive.
What your intention was is to defend yourself. And that felt good at the time. Well, no, I'm not a bad baker. You're a bad eater. Right. But what that does is now we've escalated.
Yeah.
Because you've given the client by saying, no, they're not. With no out, no escape route, uh-huh. they either have to escalate or turn on themselves. Very rarely are they going to turn on themselves. Like, and if they did, they'll never come back.
I had a little cotton mouth before.
just been using this new mouthwash and it probably did. So you've given them either they have to admit to using a new drying mouthwash or they have to escalate and now we've got to move it up. We've got to move the ante up.
Now it's proving who's right, who's wrong.
Right. So you didn't give them the out. I always like when I'm dealing with people to give them an escape route because likely they're going to take it and likely I can manage it then.
Yeah.
When I don't give them escape route, they become a lot less predictable.
I think it's hard because you're like, I have to stand up for myself or then – it looks like I am an idiot behind the KitchenAid mixer.
I would wager that there's a lot of ego in that thought. If they say they don't like something I made, I'm a bad person.
Yeah, then I'm a bad baker. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. But the ego lies in being the business owner, not the baker. Yeah. This is an upset client. How can I get them managed? How can I manage this client so that they get something, I get something, and we both win? Again, you're not going to get 100% 0% in business.
For sure.
And that's not the goal either. If you had 100% wins over every client you ever worked with, you're going to have no returning clients.
I know. And you can't make everyone happy. We all have different taste buds and different preferences for what we think tastes good and what doesn't taste good.
Your cupcakes are dry.
I will say Gam's got cupcakes from not a local BJ's. Baker. It was from it was the ones that she got sent for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. That was from a magazine bakery.
Yeah, I felt like they were dry. And then are these a little dry? And she's like, no, they're amazing. I'm like, oh, wow.
But her ego was defending her. It was sent from my uncle, her son.
Yeah. And it was her
sent
gift.
Him, of course, like Uncle Mark. Could you have phoned it in anymore?
But the time before you got a cake in the head.
I just want to tell him edible arrangements. Man. Yeah. That's what we all want. Yes. That's what everyone gets.
Listen, he's not buying
for you.
Mark,
I love you. Please buy it for us. But so Gans let ego, not, you know, in an innocent sense, well, my son gave me a good gift. It doesn't change the fact that the cupcakes were dry. It was a great gift.
Yeah.
Unrelated, they were dry cupcakes.
But she was like, this is now my gift. Yes. I'm taking it personally. Right. Like, she baked these from
and
scratch.
And it's that taking things personally that leads to these extremely complex apologies. Like, when I see people get the so far down that it's like exploded, I'm like, wow, there's very few outs for anybody here outside of a full refund. And even then, they might leave you a bad review. If you push and you escalate and you escalate and you escalate, the nuclear option becomes the only option oftentimes.
It's hard to tell people, like, no, you're wrong. You already taste the cupcake. The cupcake is done and gone. But you're wrong and I'm right. Because they're like, no, I can't, you know. It's not like we got the cupcakes in front of us and we're taste testing them.
Right.
It's like, no, I tried it and it didn't taste what I thought it was going to taste like. Heather loves to use this phrase, like, oh, thank you so much for the feedback. I'm going to bring that back to the kitchen. And what do you say?
You're going to take that back to the kitchen with you. What people want. I had this ex-boyfriend and he said this a lot. You're seen, you're heard,
and you're understood.
That's often what people truly do want when they say, hey, the cupcakes were dry. They want to be seen. So, oh my goodness, thank you so much for bringing that up to me. They want to be heard. Oh, I'm going to take that back to the kitchen. I'm going to see if there's anything I can tweak on my end. Even if you don't necessarily plan to tweak anything, it may be nice to do an audit. Just like our website stopped working eventually. Uh-huh. It's good to make sure that recipe is still putting in work. And as our seasons change, things in our recipes also change.
It does.
And ingredients change.
Yeah.
So say I'm going to take that back to the kitchen. And then now we have kind of the final part of the resolution. Where is the common ground? Somebody in the group mentioned this, and I thought it was a really interesting approach. They said, so essentially when we do a full refund, we put the onus on us to solve the problem. Uh-huh. And to me, that's the fastest resolution possible. In and out, I can move on with my life. If you're wanting to not do a full refund, because not all situations require the full refund, if you escalate and escalate, likely you only have that option. But I thought this approach was very interesting. She said, ask them, I'm so sorry. What can I do to make this right for you? And let them choose
the solution. That's what I wrote in a comment. And I said, you can lead them to the water. And then they
put your ego aside. Somebody else said it's out. Corey's in a bad mood today.
I'm in a bad mood today.
Why are you? Let's take it aside. Why are you in a bad mood?
Okay. We're going to take five from the podcast.
Okay.
It's because I am like... My family comes to me for everything. I am everyone's touch point. The cats, the dog.
Because Corey and I thought about over lunch is that she works from home, so people think you're not working because you're at home.
I'm working so much, but then I work so much that you can't honestly get a word in edgewise because I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to work.
Right. So they feel less listened to when in reality they shouldn't be talking at all. It's the working time. But because Corey's so accessible, it feels like she's this fixture. And then when her husband works shift work because he's a police officer and he's on his weird Saturday on a Tuesday.
Yeah, if he has a weird day off and it's on a Tuesday, then he feels like everyone needs to be on the weekend. My weekend isn't until Saturday.
So Corey and I said you have weekend brain. Whether your weekend's on a Saturday or on a Tuesday, you can almost feel your brain saying like, and I'm out for the day, guys. I'll see you on Monday. Nate's weekend brain was Tuesday. But he wanted Corey to be in weekend brain, but she had just gotten off of it and got into weekend brain.
Yeah, like I'm heading towards mid hump day week.
I mean, like Wednesday is the least weekend brain day. So we were saying, like, how would you manage? One, it's complex because you work from home, but a lot of people on the podcast also do.
Yeah.
But it's two, it's complex because you have a husband who has unnormal, not 9 to 5 days a week, right. You have like these weird shift days.
Yeah, so it's like always changing. It's never like Tuesday's my one day. No, it's always different.
So at least the folks whose partners or spouses have consistent schedules, you almost get to have, be like, okay, they're leaving at 9 a.m. and I get started.
Here's the thing though. When even the people aren't there, the animals are constantly checking in with me. Like, is she moving her hand towards the cheese cupboard?
I know. That is a boundary issue. What I think with the animals, they don't know. They only know what we allow
they
them
know
to know.
When they make a sound, something typically happens. Just for me to make them quiet. I have gotten so many cat toys in the past 2 weeks just to get some, you know, take the pressure off me. Mm-hmm. Like, go bat around a
but
toy.
But I think, essentially, we've said the more you cry, the more toys you get.
But now I'm in this hellhole.
I know.
About meow.
A boundaryless hellhole. Phoebe has become dexterous, can use his paws to touch me. That paw touching my ankle.
And it's because you always say,
respond.
Fame.
And then I go find entertainment for it. And it's like, well, if I press this ankle button, I immediately get
how
something.
How do you ignore your husband, child, and pet?
Well, what I've been doing to Phoebe, unfortunately, is as soon as I get an ankle touch, I shut the door and put it outside.
Oh, so she loses
boundary.
Access.
So I'm essentially, the ankle button's only response is to put you outside of the office of where it loves to live. So
I'm going to put Nate in our chat.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I'm single. Follow me from a dating advice. Get rid of him.
I'm just getting ready to go to his dad. So that'll be a break. It's just a lot going on this week. It's his final week. We have exams this week. He gets off half days on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So now I have to be available halfway through the
day. Then you drive him up on Friday, and then we have a family wedding on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot this week.
Fortunately, I don't need a ride. I don't have a car. I'll just be sitting here and tell somebody things.
All right, back to the podcast. We have no solution.
If you guys have a solution, please text in to 571-556-5644.
What I do tell people is like, no one's allowed in the cookie room. I don't want any cat hairs or people hairs. Really, it's just like nobody's
closing the door watching TikTok. Get your little AirPods in. That is a tough one. And no, I don't know how to manage it. So if you guys have any ideas for old twin two.
I know. And it's just like a culmination of all this stuff.
Here's a question. If we're going to go to an aside of the podcast, why do spouses specifically only have experience with the male ones? Want to annoy you to get your attention? It's the worst type of attention you're going to get from me. You're going to get somebody to irate. Corey and I, I'm not sure. We used to pin each other down and drool on each other. And it was torture. But when anybody touches my neck now, I get this like visceral response from Corey.
Yes.
But her kid does it to me.
He does it to me. I told him, I said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom here. If you touch my neck, it'll put me in an instantly bad mood.
Yeah.
So if you ask to go to McDonald's or you want to go to the Olive Garden, I'll say no because you have touched my neck.
Yeah, I don't get then why can continue to do it. Instead, he touched my neck instead of yours. And
this
I said,
morning,
listen, champ.
He touched my neck when he got out of the car. And I said, I'm going to be in a bad mood. He said, you are already in one.
Okay, well, I don't know. That's not wrong. He ain't wrong. Okay, back to apologizing. Do I think you need apologies in your tool belt? Yes, absolutely. Do I think you need to understand the intention of your apology? Are you apologizing because somebody's experience was wrong? Or are you apologizing because that is your knee-jerk response to some childhood trauma where you just said, I'm sorry. And that's the dangerous one.
I say use them sparingly. I think when you say an apology, it needs to have meaning behind it. So if someone's like, hey, can I pick up my order on June 1st? Instead of saying, like, I'm sorry, I can't, I'd be like, I can't do June 1st, but I can do June 3rd. Does that work for you? So it's not just necessarily throwing sorries back and forth, lobbing them just as almost
sorries
like a
need
comma.
To be the most intentional thing. There's a lot of weight behind them. And if to throw them out like candy, it's dangerous because you do set the precedence that, well, this person will turn on themselves. We don't want the apology to be us turning on ourselves unless we're truly in the wrong. Yeah. Then absolutely turn ourselves if we did something wrong. But if it's, hey, your experience is wrong, like somebody said, well, I thought you would remind me to pick them up. Oh, I'm so sorry that you thought that would be right. I actually don't remind clients, but I appreciate you letting me know. So you see that? We're sorry that you thought that.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry that I didn't remind you. I'm sorry that you thought I should have.
Uh-huh.
And then here's the reason why there will be no like recourse from that, right?
And I can take that feedback and maybe incorporate it in the future.
Take it back to the kitchen with me.
Avoid some miscommunication like this.
Yeah. But we want to make sure. So do I say yes to apologizing? Absolutely. Do I say yes to apologizing for everything? No. I'd even wager if you could take that back to your own personal kitchen and see how you're apologizing in your life and what you're hoping from it. So the intention is to find out what your intention is asking yourself, what do I hope to get from this?
Yeah. I think a lot of people use I'm sorry as like a sentence ender, but I don't even think it needs to always be a sentence ender. Like, hey, I'm booked that week, but here is a few other bakers. Like, there's always a solution you can say that doesn't end with, I'm sorry you thought that way.
You are just a noise-making machine. Sorry. Corey, your kid apologizes. In
so
that he doesn't
so,
know what the intention
is. Yeah, and I'll
be
like, what are you sorry for? I don't know.
I wouldn't ask that to your client next time. What are you sorry for? The reason why Archer apologizes is not because he's being intentional. He just knows that sometimes if he apologizes, he doesn't get in trouble. So he throws them out way too often. So it's, again, that lack of intentionality. So what we want to say is like, okay, what do I want from this client? I want this client to know that there is a boundary here. I want this client to know that I do understand why they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I want this client to find this recourse. A lot of times I like to throw in my own recourse for people so they know exactly where I'm herding the sheep.
Like, what do you mean?
Hey, I'm really sorry that you missed pickup. You can grab the porch. I can drop it off for you on the porch.
Take my porch with you.
You take the porch. You take Nate and Archie's on it.
That's a freebie.
You know, I'd want to say like, you know, like, hey, I'm sorry I missed pickup. Typically, we do the whole if you don't pick it up. Hey, you know what? It's okay. I haven't made it to the donation center yet. I can leave it on my porch tomorrow if you want. So again, I'm saying I'm sorry that you missed pickup.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry that I have one.
That I have a boundary. Right.
But what I can do for you is I can leave them on my porch and you can pick it up. Somebody was on their way to cookie class. There's a ton of car accidents in our area. And they said, I won't be able to make it to class. You know, can I get it later? And I was like, you know what? I'm so sorry you can't make it, but what I can do for you is I can leave it here and you can swing by, or tomorrow I can leave your kit on my porch.
Yeah, and then
she said, had asked for a free ticket, and I said, well, I'm, you know, we don't do free tickets, and I'm so sorry you can't make it, but here's what I can do. So you see that I got what I wanted. They felt, seeing her, not her.
Yeah.
And then we were able to find a common ground where it wasn't 100% win for either of us. I didn't make 100% of a free class ticket that we took, and she didn't get to take class. But we found a common ground where it was maybe 60-40 or 50-50 or 70-30. And we both – and she said, thank you so much. I know this isn't in your policy.
Yeah. And I know, like, people love to say the twins run for the refund. If someone says, hey, I'm just bringing this to your attention, they're, and it sometimes they'll say, I'm not asking for a refund. I just want to let you know. You don't have to refund. You don't have
refund
to.
At all costs or else.
Take my money.
Yeah, if somebody tells you that they're just letting you know, then thank them so much.
Be like,
so
wow,
much.
Thanks for caring about my business as much as I do.
They're not dry.
Thanks for being in my business as much as I do.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like we always say, the cheapest client is the one that's already bought from you. Mm-hmm. You want to keep that grass watered.
Uh-huh. There's a book series, I couldn't even tell you, but it's a Choose Your Own Adventure that we read back in the day.
Loved it.
It is something, if you can play it out before you reach out to your customer, like if I say this.
That's a good idea.
They can come back with maybe these two responses. What would then, if their response is this very negative one, how am I going to respond to that? You can almost play it out before that situation even happens.
If you did that, even in like your interpersonal relationships when you're in an argumentative thing, I decided to listen to this book called The High Conflict Couple. Not even in a relationship. I just wanted
you're
to.
You're reading about me now.
You guys have an hour. I just wanted to read about kind of thing. They're like, yeah, if you're often trained yourself to escalate, you know, if I said A, B, C, D, E, F, what would you say?
G.
Because you're so naturally taught that. But what if G is the escalation? Then you have to relearn the alphabet. So they said, oftentimes, if you find that a lot of your conversations end in escalation, there's something you can do that doesn't mean taking fault. That means finding an alternate route that's not typical than the one you've been taking for years. Let me go to my text questions.
How random.
I know. I'm sorry. It signed me out of the Gmail and it was on my mind.
Oh, you're so crazy.
Well, is there anything else you want to add to the formal apology? Here's what I was telling Corey.
Uh-huh.
I was telling you. Apologies allow for the release of energy. When there is no apology, the energy has to stay with the originator. So if I say, Corey, will you hurt my feelings? And she's like, sorry you feel that way. Like something where it's defensive.
Yeah.
Then I have to sit with the fact that my feelings were hurt. But if Corey says, oh, I'm so sorry you heard it that way, what I meant, what I intended for it to be heard as is this, then that energy flows. And we come to a resolution. When somebody has that pent-up emotion and there's no release from it, that's what the escalation is. So when you see a client's like, hey, I'm not happy, and you're like, I'm sorry, you're an idiot, they're still stuck with that I'm not happy. And then it begins this kind of thing called rumination where they think about it over and over again, the things you did, the things you – and then what happens is oftentimes they'll find that release, but it will be on your Google review profile. That energy must be released.
Yeah.
If you can manage the release, that's much safer business than to let them find a place to release it.
Yes. Was this a cohesive podcast?
I don't know.
I feel like when we took the break to talk about my personal issues.
You little noise machine, man. Listen, everything you touch, it just makes
Why did you give me the most wobbly table you own?
I don't know. I just don't not touch it.
I'm sorry
you feel that way? How do you feel about me? I think it was, the messaging is right. We led with clickbait, took an aside because you're in a mood and that's fine and you've got a problem here.
You're in a mood. Why am I like,
you're almost here at the end.
Of my mood?
Yeah, Archer. You and Archer kind of need this break.
It's because he had a half day Friday.
He did.
Which I let him stay home all day Friday. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday was off.
If you don't know a Corey's kid, if you have a quiet kid, it's not that. It's not a quiet kid. It's a kid that loves to talk about anything all the time, forever, and then touch your neck.
Listen, I want to tell you, on the ride home, this is the question. So I'll ask it every day. What would you do if there was a million Fuzzums running towards you? And Fuzzum is our cat. And my brain, which is thinking about normal people things, has to yank itself out and think if there was clone cats running towards us.
Well, on Saturday when I saw him, he said, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Come, drags me to his computer. Which group of trolleys would you like the trolley to run over? What? I don't know. The one on the right. Yeah. He even didn't pick the one I picked. So whatever. But that's kind of who Archer is.
Yeah.
Very, if just I'm a million miles away.
Down the stairs with like intent to work, he'll be like, come and look at the Fuzzum. And who am I to be like, now? So let's turn. Oh, he's so cute.
He's 13, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This, I went on a walk the other day. And I swear, if you didn't tell me Archer didn't have a twin, I would have found him. So I'm walking in a neighborhood. I go on these 5-mile walks. They're a loop pattern. I have my typical cats I pet and then the old 95-year-old guy. Yeah. So I'm seeing this kid. He's doing the turning left, which I'm always like, oh.
With his arm?
Yeah. So he's got the, you know, left turn, which is a straight down. I'm always like, oh, that confused me as a kid. I'm impressed to see somebody. Yes. You know what? His right handlebar snags on the wheel well of this car, throwing the kid over the handlebars. I'm the only person there.
Did you go run?
I ran. But
did he have a helmet on?
He did. He was Archer. might as well have been Archer. He's like, and then when, you know, like, I'm like, what's this kid going to say? Oh, brother.
Like, was he hurt?
He was startled.
Embarrassed.
He was very embarrassed. Because now you got this girl, and I'm like, hey, buddy, can I help you? Can I help
you? Do you look like what you look like now?
Yeah. Well, I think I was wearing a funky hat, though. No. A sun hat. So I said, sombrero. Can I help you? No, I'm good. I'm good. But his legs, dangly like Archer's, are wrapped in the gears of this bike.
Did you pick
up
the bike?
He said, I'm fine. So I helped him up and then I handed him his bike, but the chain had popped off. So I turned back around to see him like trying to hold the bike.
Oh, because it won't even
I said, buddy, I'm going to hold the bike for you. Put the chain back on.
Did it go back on?
Yeah, I'll tell you very quickly. But then I went to go talk to the 95-year-old guy.
Has happened before.
Yeah, but I could hear him. So the 95-year-old guy said, yeah, this kid runs into a car. And he's like, oh, that's James Williams. He's my neighbor. And I look up and there's James going back. He says, is it him? I said, yeah, that's the guy, the kid. And then I hear the kid confessing to his dad, I ran into a car. And the dad said, why would you have run into a car? I said, this is Archer.
Did he dent the car?
I'm going to have to say he did, but the car was extremely dented. It would have blended right in. It's one of those cars where somebody is like, oh, I'll fix you up one day and never comes back to it.
A curb warrior.
Thing was fine about and it lost. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. You just said I met Arch on the side of the road.
Come on, somebody like, do you want to be friends with my nephew? Please don't touch my neck. Please don't touch. I'll help you off.
Oh, my son.
Your kid. You wanted him. You had him.
Sure did.
Hi, twins. It's Linda here, your long-distance admirer from down under.
Mm.
Now I got to do an Australian accent.
Australia.
Crocky, I have a quick question. I've held quite a few classes here already.
I feel like you're
wondering
going
if I should be creating with a Facebook event. Crocky, each class. Trip on the bobby. The classes are selling, albeit a little slower thanks to the cost of living increases, but wondering if this is a strategy would increase visibility and traction. Thanks for all you do for us, Linda. So what she's asking is, should I create a Facebook event for each class? Simple answer, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is multifaceted. Because Facebook is a search engine, which we talked about in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. Search engine means people can search. When we create one individual listing for each, we have individual titles that have individual keywords that can be searched individually. Mm-hmm. You'll never guess. Plus, when we want to direct traffic to an individual class, I can tag an event now in my copy description.
And we love tagging a class. Ooh. It makes it highlighted blue when people are surfing on mobile, so your eyes instantly go there.
And when they click on it, it's everything they need for that specific class. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is somebody who makes like a catch-all. One, it's hard for end users to manage and understand. Like, a lot of people aren't reading, so understand, we're not reading. So what I like to do is, like, I like to have the class title be the date and time in the title.
Heather does really, even though the thing is a mile long.
It is a long title. She'll but I'm name talking it to like search engines.
Sugar and Sun, Cookie Fun.
No, Sugar Cookie Decorating Class, because I need the keyword sugar cookie. I need decorating, and I need the class title so I can differentiate it from the others. And I need the time, because oftentimes we'll do an 11 class, we'll do a 1 class, and then a 3 p.m. class. Yeah. So what I want to do now, you guys hear on the podcast that I like to use Eventbrite. Eventbrite can push each individual event to Facebook.
Isn't it weird?
It is weird. You got to go to marketing. But now with the new page experience, I found the workaround. You go to create the Facebook, I mean the Eventbrite event. Uh-huh. Go to marketing and Eventbrite and say push to Facebook. When it pushes to Facebook, click the link in the Eventbrite dashboard that it then creates and switch over to your page experience, your new page.
Okay.
Then it'll ask if you want to accept being a host of that event, and then it'll add it to your page. But if not, if that's too complicated or you don't use Eventbrite, do make an individual Facebook class, because you can always put the URL to tickets to link wherever you want to.
Plus, when you make an event and someone responds interested or going, regardless if they've purchased a ticket, what you can do is when you post in the discussion portion of that event, they'll get a special notification that says, so-and-so, Sugar Cookie Classes posted an update. So now, they can go straight there and be like, oh, there's one more ticket left, or oh, it's $5 off.
Now, what I'm going to encourage you to do is disable anyone from being able to post an event. There's a scam that goes around where people are like, I have two tickets, I'm selling. They don't have two tickets. They're just trying to scam your own audience.
Yeah.
So just disable or do post approval for any comments in the discussion section of your event.
Another reason to make an event is you can actually run a Facebook ad to the people that have responded, interested or going. So say if you sold out in Christmas and maybe July's slow moving, you can target people from your past events and see if you can get them in these seats. They were interested once, life happens. Maybe they didn't show up and they didn't go, but they're still in your audience. So you want to be able to get those people back.
Not that I'm in bed with Eventbrite at all, but they do have the capability to run ads for individual events if that sounded like a lot of work.
On Eventbrite?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eventbrite is its own search engine.
It is. Yeah, that's why I do like it as well.
Yeah.
If you charge for tickets on Eventbrite, you do pay them percentage of the ticket. You can either pass that along to the consumer, or you can absorb it yourself and pay Eventbrite directly. Mm-hmm. Those fees are never refunded.
Eventbrite, you might be able to choose.
Yeah. I don't think they used to, when COVID first hit, they used to say we'll refund it for COVID issues. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that still is at play, but I'm going to guess no.
My one thing, and sometimes we don't do this ourselves, is when a page runs events, it'll have it on the events tab, past events.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't update it, it looks like, oh, this place ain't running events no more. Mm-hmm. you used to post them like religiously.
They're there.
Are they though?
Check. I think they're there.
Are they though?
I went out of my way this time to make sure they're there.
Events. Oh. Next one is Saturday, October 21st.
Yeah, we filled out the but that event I posted to the page, this Sugar Cookie Classes page.
I will say the past event. So those two are current.
Yeah,
the one before that was in December.
When you sell out, I don't need to push anyway. Yeah, I should have pushed it out. But we're halfway full of October.
Oh,
people,
really?
Yeah, 5 people have already signed up.
Wow, people are crazy.
Because I put the FOMO into the copy. I said, hey, these will sell out. They typically fill up in September if you want to guarantee a spot for you and your buddies. But get them now. So 5 people did.
Nice.
One was a group of 4. And a onesie person who I think was the one who got the gift card from Mother's Day.
Yeah, my great lady.
Lady.
There was just a lady who randomly sent me $50. And I was like.
No, she blew up. It was Mother's Day morning, which is Sunday?
Yeah.
Not that I'm a mother, but I was off. were like, I need a gift card to your class. Like,
okay. Yeah, she's like, I need a gift card. I need it now.
Right. But I wasn't. So then we got an email, a Facebook page, meshes, and Instagram. Of course, Gory
and
is
Instagram
a mom.
Voicemail.
Yeah. And turns out she had on Mother's Day, I suppose, and wanted this cookie class, which Eventbrite has a third party
gift card
thing. But instead of purchasing through the gift card thing that works with Eventbrite, she just sent $50 to Corey.
She just Zelled me $50 that just fell into my bank account. How so did you get that information?
So, that was a pain in the butt. But I think that was a ticket. I think she was redeeming it. But yeah, Eventbrite does have GiftUp integration, which creates a unique code. I do have to pay every time. I have to pay GiftUp every time somebody does it.
How much?
I think it's 2%
of
whatever their, because I let them set the denomination. Oh, interesting. So they don't have to buy an entire ticket, which she didn't. It's a $75 ticket. She paid $50 for it, and I paid like $2.
Oh, interesting.
Crazy, right? Here is an email podcast tip.
Email tip?
Yeah.
Like a tip for she's me giving to be us better podcasters?
No, she's giving it to other people.
Oh, okay.
Janessa says, I love listening to the podcast while decorating cookies, and you've given me so many ideas and tips. So I wanted to share marketing tips I used at my cookie classes that have been successful.
Nice.
I always bring cookie decorating kits to sell in my classes that have the same shapes and icing colors we're using in class. The prep is easy because I'm already doing the same thing for the class, and I feel like customers have confidence and skills to decorate them after taking the class.
For
love and
sure.
upsell. That is
genius.
Yes. Then, this is a cool one, I also raffle off one of the kits at the beginning of class. You never realize how much you want something until you don't get it.
Like,
and
a
then
full
at the end
raffle?
And she said, so she raffles off a kit at the beginning of class.
Like, is it like a bidding war?
I think it's like somebody wins it.
So you can buy a raffle.
Oh. But she says, but then I announce they're available for sale after.
Smart.
Because they all want the one. And if they don't get it, they want to buy one.
Smart.
So she's even warmed them up because she's like, if you want it and then you don't get it, then you want it even more. Yeah. So now you can buy it.
Heather was doing a sales pitch to one of our classes for a DIY kit. And one lady's like, you're going to have to say the price.
That lady. That lady's like, insane. If you're listening to this, I didn't like that.
Heather, did not like her experience.
Yeah, okay. But then she goes on. I record videos of me decorating my samples for the cookie class, and then I post the videos on my website, and customers can access them for free with a promo code, which is in the cookie decorating kit. It feels very exclusive, and this helps create traffic on my website. Thanks for everything you do, Janessa at Mad Batter. Cookie cook. That is just genius because everything she's done has connected her audience to other facets of her marketing. Plus, she added it in upsells.
If you go to her website to find those videos, perhaps you'd be like, wow, she makes these custom cookies and sells them.
Yeah, talk about an audience. If you're running the Facebook pixel or a retargeting type code,
yeah.
You can send ads to people who you don't know who have clicked your website.
Especially, you can run them a specific ad for like 4th of July DIY kit. Like, you were interested in this kit in class. You were interested in that.
So, like, let's imagine she has people coming to class. She's built that audience. She's worked hard to get the lead. Uh-huh. She says, okay, I'm going to make more money off of you and you're going to want to pay me for it.
Yes.
Here's these DIY kits. In the DIY kit is a code to go to her website. Now we got exclusivity.
Smart.
Now I get a custom, like almost one-on-one feeling.
Yeah, like I feel exclusive.
Yeah, and then now she's back. We're able to target these people back in advertisements. Not to mention they are on our website as well.
Yeah.
Talk about a win-win.
Do we like this podcast today? I love the questions. I don't love our part.
Well, okay. Sometimes we're not on our A game. I'm sorry for your guys' experience today.
I'm sorry you guys felt this way about the podcast today.
Why are you in such a mood, man?
I told you.
I know, but we've been talking about it at length.
And I went 2 days without Diet Coke.
Oh, that's none of our problem. I'm not sorry for that. So you done recovered. I could tell.
You're my weakest link. I'm going to stop eating out with you. Yeah.
Okay. Really?
It's not like you have a car. I'm picking you up.
I said, if anyone needs me to be anywhere, you're going to have to pick me up. Corey's like, I'm outside. I'm coming, Mom.
Your daughter's like, 2 seconds.
I got to post a meme.
If you want to call in, text in, or email in, you can email at hello@sugarcookiemarketing.com. You can call in at 571-556-5644.
I would highly recommend the texting in.
Highly recommend texting in.
Yeah, the other one, it's like 5 more steps to get the podcast published, and I can't bring myself to do it. But that's it. Okay. On Buzzsprout, you can get your podcast transcribed. Okay. Corey and I talk at a mile a minute.
Mile.
And it's hard for me to even want to listen to us. So they have the AI, right? The AI. So I got one of the suggested companies, Otter.ai, to transcribe podcast number 107. Can I read to you what our robot overlords heard
you
us
can read
say?
Two sentences.
It says, if you can go in that, the person you're working with, it's not you, it's not you. Corey's neighbor dining room table splits in two. Corey's neighbor is crazy and has a hoarding tendency. The two-part dining room table. Corey got targeted in an ad for pink car wash. Corey gets rear-ended. Corey's theory on Korean Lucky.
On what?
Korean Lucky. A three-year-old meandering through a car wash. The working theory is Korean. Lucky is everything. And Tubi also.
Luck is everything. This
is sponsor Spotlight, Eddie's Edible Food Printer. Sponsors AE Corp Backers and Edible Food Printers. Cookie Con in 2 weeks. Two classes, one for each. Auditing a website and making friends. Follow us.
You can live your life off of that. But it's good to be lucky. Makes a friend. Get you an Eddie.
That just makes no sense. AI, what happened? I thought you were taking jobs. It just gave me a whole job.
AI is not made for the twins quite yet.
And someone said maybe AI heard you guys talking, so we don't want to take over anymore. You can keep it. Anyways, don't be late for the Korean Monday morning meeting. Oh, it also said being the lead point of the Vendy Bundy.
The Vendy Bundy. We're changing the name.
We're not talking about the Vendy Bundy. Anyways, tell us about the Cookie College.
Well, the Cookie College is a membership. It's a monthly membership. You can join for 1 month. You can join for the year. We don't care whichever
one you want to do. Preferably the year.
Preferably the year.
They're gonna get so many bad reviews. The Cookie College is, and I'm excited to say, I'm working on the June class. All my tomorrow is allocated to the June class drop, which is,
guys, I finished it, man.
Corey, it is punchy. We're not using white in this class.
We're not. This is the first class we actually didn't use white, and it's because if you're thinking under the sea, like little sea creatures,
a lot of blue,
imagine any
a little less white.
Yeah, so it's fun colors. It's a great palette.
So what do we got in this one? I know we have a crab.
You got a crab, and we're using PME pearls for the eyes, so you're not having to make any extra colors or having to try to mix
black. Corey's big thing with these class drops, and they're included in the Cookie College, but if that's a little too much for you right now, you can just sign up for the Cookie Class kits at a discounted rate. However, the Cookie College is the better buy. I'm going to 100% say.
It's just like pay a few for that, extra dollars everything. And you get so much more.
But every first of the month, we drop a new class kit. If you were thinking that you wanted to get into cookie classes, now is a slow time, but now is a good time to learn.
Because, but I want to listen. Oh, listen, if you were planning to do a cookie class, you're going to realize how hard it is because I've done it every single month this year and it's so insanely hard.
Yeah, so Corey and I accidentally oversold it. We overdid it. And now everyone likes it. No wonder, because it's all the work you need to get this class out the door. All you have to do is bake and decorate.
Yeah. So we come up with designs. We come up with only four colors. It's always six cookies. They're always 3.5 inches.
You have the shopping list to buy everything, the supply list to teach a class. This is everything that we have used for years and years in our own
class. I stage the photos and take the photos.
You have the photos. You have social media posts. You have the copy. You have the Eventbrite description. You have a piping practice
sheet. You even have the videos of my little hands decorating.
To kind of go back to what Janessa said, you could essentially use those videos to recreate her amazing tips right there. Yeah. Because you can upload them right to
you. You can take my little voiceover off. Put your little voiceover on.
And you get that PowerPoint that walks them through that, which Corey and I include for anybody who gets DIY kits. Mm-hmm. Or sell, which I do like when people do this because I think it's savvy. Even if you're not teaching a cookie class, sell it as a DIY kit.
Use the promo photos to sell the DIY
kit. Talk about the least investment on your part. All you have to do is cut, bake an icing bag sling and then sell it as a DIY kit. Yes. You can include the PowerPoint. They can walk themselves through it. And you even have every video on how to decorate it. Mm-hmm.
I will say, it's bang for the buck because of how much time.
Corey complains about it every month.
I do.
And no, we're not going to do it.
Natalie from Sweeping Column said, I'm going to need August.
It's like we can't even get one done before we have to do the other one. However, what a fun little thing. And then we'll get into the summer. What are we doing? I think August, we were thinking
ice cream. You were thinking ice cream.
I thought that'd be a fun, kind of fun departure from the beach for those people who.
Still fun in the sun.
Landlocked friends.
Yeah. Yes, landlocked friends.
Yeah.
Although in Australia, it's winter.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
But they can use January's class.
Australians, Linda, are you guys literally celebrating Christmas in like
shorts? Oh, like it's summertime for them.
Is it like sweaty? Like, oh, it's another hot Christmas, guys.
That's so weird.
Gotta turn on the AC.
Bloody hell. Just kidding. I don't know. Is it a Christmas? A shrimp on the Bobby.
We're shrimping on the Bobby. That's an interesting question. Please report back. to our Down Under friends. But yeah, if you guys want to check out that cookie class, kits will drop on the 1st, probably. I'll be working on it.
Probably it will.
Okay, I want to tell you this. Corey said, hey, I've had a long week driving my twin sister around America. I'm going to trade with the Cookie College members. Can I push out the drop date of the class for 3 days and I'll give you our last year's burger class mm-hmm. that Corey and I taught locally? Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah. And then suddenly Corey was like, don't do me dirty. I have everything ready to go. But here I was thinking we were dropping it 3 days later.
Yeah, because not everyone in the college, people who have signed up for I was gonna give them the burger class. Yeah, no, they just get the kit. They just get what they're.
Right, I know, because I don't want them to be confused because the bird class is not complete.
Yeah,
but I'll be working on that. And it's a bazillion colors, so I can go anywhere. Different shapes. Oh yeah, the bird class is 5 colors. So it was chosen on idea.
And I think it was 7 colors.
Seven. Was it?
Yeah.
That was a...
2 buns, you know? Burger buns.
I've gotten myself. And now they come with pears.
You got pear cakes.
You didn't even eat the Andy's mints at the end of Olive Garden today.
That was the first ever.
I know. They were delicious.
They're so good.
You know, Summer doesn't like them.
It's bizarre.
I know.
But she loves Reese's, and I do not like Reese's.
I agree. I don't like them as much as she does. Okay, going through our sponsors.
Sponsors. Number one, AE Core Backers. If you didn't know, they ran a sale this past weekend. For it was marvelous. You got 25% off their marbles.
That pun game is strong.
It is great. If you are like, oh man, I missed it, you need to follow them on social media and you need to sign up for their email newsletter.
I hope she does the Vendy Bundy again this year.
The Vendy Bundy. She might be doing the Vendy Bundy. I don't know about the Bundy. But she makes food safe backdrops. So if you've seen any of my photos, they've always been taken on an AE Core Backers. I love the matte white finish. That one I just have upstairs constantly.
Do the AE Core Backers fit on that rolly thing? I saw somebody asking about that in the main group from the
Replica Surfaces.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
They don't. Are they different sizes?
The different thicknesses make it
thicknesses.
Work.
Mm-hmm. So the little brackets have to be different for the both?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. You can get AE Core Backers at 20% off now, exclusively, through us, with the code SUGARCOOKIE, not plural, at aecorebackers.com. You can always tune in to their email newsletter. She does not spam you. Honestly, whatever, when they have new rollouts or have discounts is the only time she emails. So I always open them because I'm like, which should I buy?
You know, that's my big thing. No offense to Pottery Barn and Coach Outlet, but they're sending emails at a rate of like two an
alarming.
Hour. Yeah, but I'm like, okay, well, now I have to unsubscribe. It's getting ridiculous.
It is.
I would almost be like, Coach, if you only emailed me maybe once a week or when you had a big sale, then I'll be more likely to check it.
I bought a computer bag. Love the bag. And you got a discount if you signed up for their newsletter and their text messaging. Okay, but how many times do you think I need to buy a computer bag? Or a camera bag, I'm sorry.
Once every 7 years.
Yep, they were sending a text a day.
No. Paula's Choice. Who likes skincare? Who hates Paula's Choice text messages?
I do like Paula's Choice product.
Right, but that text message, how much is it? If you have a 20% off every day, it's not 20%
off. Then it's not 20%. It's just lower the price.
God bless the person who accidentally pays full price for that stuff. It's 20% off.
Really? I bought it from Sephora.
Yeah. But I think we bought it from Sephora on the 20% off sale day.
I didn't go with you because I felt very bad about my spending habits.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. If you needed to keep it to yourself, you keep it to yourself.
Next up is Royal Batch. I actually posted my whole recipe on our Instagram account.
Corey dropping mad knowledge. Oh, I got to say, Corey has been floating our little social media, dropping these like 3-minute tutorials, 1-minute tutorials. Mm-hmm. There was a basketball stencil on how to make it look directional.
I'm really trying to do a reel a day. Really a day. And sometimes they pop off. Sometimes they don't. It's all right. But a reel a day from the sets that I'm making. I said I can get at least 2 videos from each set that I make.
Talk. And you know what, guys? You could too.
So if you want to see how I make my royal icing, what I look for my flood consistency, it's all in that video. But I do use the Royal Batch meringue powder, and on the back of the bags is the recipe. And then I show you the recipe so you can just screenshot it, but you can also do what I do. So I take a tablespoon of the meringue powder out, which allows it to crust over less fast, so you have more time to work with it. Really, truly does depend on the humidity. We live in a very humid climate here.
Come on, man. It's not even June yet.
I know, but it was
beautiful. Yeah, we did have a nice May.
It was a very nice
May. This year is just a chug-a-luggin'.
A chug-a-luggin'.
Last but never least.
Wait.
Oh.
You can save 10% by using code TWINS at checkout. Ships to US and Canada.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank y'all.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. Last but never least is Eddie, the edible food printer, which is the only thing that the AI understood. Oh. Maybe the robots talked to it. But Eddie is a direct-to-food printer. So the same way I print on paper, imagine printing on food.
Yeah, but not like a edible food printer.
No, it is a printer on a food. The paper is
printing
the food.
Right on the royal icing.
Yeah, so it was pretty neat, and it continues to get neater and neater. Corey asked me to send her a file.
Did you?
I'm working on it. And you are turning, you're using Eddie to make a cart cookie?
Yeah, so the thank you cookies, I typically write thank you on a cookie with the leftover icing from that set. But what if it was my logo?
What if we take, okay, here's my thought.
I liked what you said in the text,
though. Yeah. So what, but if it's a thank you cookie, I can have the word thank you go up on the right side of your logo. So you're essentially printing your logo, but the orange background will come through. So the background is there.
The it goes to the orange. End of the cookie, yes. Right? Then in the middle, it's just white.
It's your white logo.
And then on that
yes,
lip,
is
it.
And it's almost like the absence of white will be the background, so it will say thank
love
you.
Love that. And in my little font writing. I mean, the font. Cookie itself isn't big. It's like 3 inches, though.
Right. So my file is going to be 3.5 inches because we want to overspray, but the center point is going to be under that 3 inches, so it'll be about 2 inches.
What's funny is I went through the Sprinkle Factory's tutorials, and she's like, we always want our template to be 4.5 inches.
It's going to definitely cover the entire – that's the max Eddie can print. So when people are like, why isn't it covering the edges? It's because your file size is short. It's not covering his full print area.
I feel like I did do good in that print because you had made the file size – what I need. I didn't have to do any guessing.
Yeah. Sometimes Corey and I said, what if, maybe we were the brains of one person, but divided in half, because there's no way I'm going to decorate a cookie. And there's no way Corey's going to 3D print something. We're just not. So then stuck together forever, forever and ever.
If you want to join the user group.
Eddie Printers user group.
On Facebook, because they will troubleshoot. They'll help you learn new stuff. It's a great group, and you can see
it. It's a lot
of
inspo stuff. People doing things that are pretty creative. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I'm quite impressed. I thought you could take those Thai cookies and print Thai textures on them, and that'd be cute.
Could you send me that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Send me a Thai text.
Like a couple different ones?
Yeah.
Like on, we'll just do the shades of blue.
Yeah, to match that.
Yeah.
Let's just see.
Okay.
Let's just see.
What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, guys. So we do the Wednesday newsletter. I know I don't typically talk about it, but it is everything we talk about in the podcast, but mailed to you at 8 a.m. on Monday.
Minus all the giggling.
Yeah, it edits out the giggling. But to make you guys sign up for it, I include one $2 Transfer Club PDF each week.
Yeah, that's for free.
Yeah, and I think this week I'm going to do Beach Balls. Already got made.
Nice.
But if you do not want to have to see us in your inbox, or you have AOL or Yahoo, which has a 0% deliverability, they hate our emails.
Weird.
You can sign up for the $2 Transfer Club, which is every transfer. I think now we're at 50 for just $2. And that is at cookietransfers.com.
Nice.
$2. Best $2 you'll spend.
Best
$2. I can say best $2 you'll spend.
Best $2.
And I add a new transfer sheet each month, but even this month I've added about 4 or 5. So.
And I know in a couple podcasts ago, we thanked you for getting us to 250,000 listens.
Yeah.
Heather actually pulled
glitch in the system.
Old. It's 500,000.
Yeah, it's like the system just started doing the threshold, but it sent the old one.
Yeah, it was sending
one.
All at one time.
Yeah, yeah. So we've actually had 500,000 listens.
Half a milli.
But someone said that's 2 years, so a milli years.
Million years.
A million. We're a million years. Not what I intended. But it gets a lot. If each of your ears gave us a dollar, that'd be great.
We would be doing the podcast.
Okay, do you have any Twinterest? Well, that's disgusting.
So sorry. Do I have a Twinterest? Oh, yeah, I do.
What?
I'm making a video, obviously, because I made a video a day. I found Hobby Lobby, where I live, it has come out with new things, and then they moved the store around.
Came out new stuff. Tell us more about this Hobby Lobby.
What they did come out with, and I did not have high hopes for it, was this edible food paint.
Oh, you talked about that.
They had silver, gold, a dark, like, gunmetal silver, and then, like, bright pink, purple.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yes. So I didn't even grab this. I just grabbed silver because I didn't want to mix it.
What is their price point we're talking about?
It was, I think, $3.49 for a thing, per jar, a little jar.
Well, that seems cheaper than most.
It does. Yeah. And you don't have to mix it. Okay. So I was like, I'm just going to try it for this order just to see if I like it or not. Really going into thinking that I wasn't going to like it because I'd never heard of the brand before. So I try it. It's not bad at all.
I mean, for $3, talk about.
I know. So now I'm like, what does the bright pink look like?
Don't you go, you get
I know.
Some.
And they were almost like when they first put them out, they only had two of each. Colors. And then when I went yesterday, there was only one silver. So I'm going to have to go grab the whole bunch and maybe I'll make another video of what it looks like.
That would be great. I'm sure we're all very curious.
Yeah. So I used it on 30 different cookies.
30?
I had to do
cookie order?
The
wedding?
Rings. Yeah.
So in the first, because Corey got a client who ordered another client set.
The first one was where you mix it with the TMP. It dries out your content. Two. I will say I really did enjoy that one from Hobby Lobby.
Yes, why didn't you do the Jenna Rae thing?
Huh?
The Jenna Rae one.
Her silver isn't good.
Oh. So but the gold.
The gold is great. But I will say it came out like thicker than I thought, which I don't know why I was thinking watery, but it's sometimes when you're working with vodka, it is a little bit more liquidy.
Really? This I think came mine's out like a little bit more liquidy too.
this came out jelly. It didn't dry out, so jelly. I was able to do all 30 cookies without having to reapply and keep doing
have
that
they dried?
Thing. Dried and bagged and didn't stick to the bag at all. I was surprised. Okay. I well, hey, was that's pleasantly
a
nice. surprised.
I love it when a new product comes out that's mm-hmm. cheaper and
I will say it's accessible. Not Hobby Lobby's brand. So in the video, you can actually see the website at the bottom of the bottle if you just wanted to order it straight from there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nifty, nifty. I don't think I have a Twinterest.
No Twinterest?
I don't know. I haven't really been able to leave the
what
house.
What did you make with your little bamboo thing? You made a little card holder.
My older sister, I'm not into functional printing. However, I did find a class from 3D Print University that's a Fusion 360 crash course on functional printing. I'll be taking that today.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
Depending on if that class drops. Okay. But she wanted a print for her micro SD and her SD card. She's big into photography for her job. So I went to a website called Thingiverse, which is where people upload free STL files. You can give them a tip if you'd like. Nice. But there's just thousands and thousands. And any idea you've ever had, like that octopus I gave you, that Archer picked from the link.
Yeah, we still game. Playing with it.
yeah, you can just print off the stuff. And if you're not big into designing, somebody has likely already designed it and you can download it.
So you don't have to change anything?
You aren't able to edit their files. They're STLs, which means I think they're, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, they're already done.
Oh, okay.
So you can resize them, but that's about it.
Oh, okay.
Because you build it in Fusion, nice. And then you export the STL to go to your slicer.
Neat. Nice. Yeah, but you it had like USB yeah, sticks, and she looked at you so weird when you're like, USBs.
Right, because I'm like, I don't use USB or jump drives anymore, but this print file, whoever had created it, clearly did. So I'm getting into functional printing. We're going to remove that.
Was I incorrect by calling it a USB stick?
I don't know. I think you're not wrong, but sometimes I've said that and people give me a look.
Yeah, but so I'm like, jump drive.
Jump drive?
USB stick.
Universal.
USBs.
Yeah, I don't know. Times change.
Times have a change.
Times have a change. Anything to get you out of your mood.
Let me
oh, wait. Heather Campbell Brookshire is planning. So, if you know, obviously, CookieCon Ohio is less than 100 days away. It is the last week of August. I love a countdown, man. Hey, it's in the Wednesday newsletter. I do include a countdown.
Nice.
For some reason, Corey has had me add Shark Week.
Shark Week is popular, man. Someone even said today, I'm so glad to see Shark Week on this list.
I think they're like, it's so weird.
People love Shark Week.
Anyways, Heather Campbell Brookshire is a Disney adult through and through. I think she might even be dressing up. I heard Hocus Pocus rumors. But she can help you plan your CookieCon trip to make it a Disney adventure as well. Talk about a trip of a lifetime, especially if you get your kids involved, because that is quite a trip. Anyway, so might as well just knock out everything.
Or go without the kids.
I did. I'm not sure she wanted me to say this. I saw someone say... Well, too bad I'm going to Universal. And she's like, I can actually help you on that too.
Oh, really?
So I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but I said it. Sorry, there. Good luck. Just read and I repeat. Anything else you'd like to say in closing?
If you guys have podcast topics you'd like us to cover, we're not necessarily professional podcasters, but we love to chit-chat.
Huh. Yeah, text in.
All right, I'm going to go drive home and get in a good mood.
Okay, go get you a Slurpee or something.
A Slurp!
That'll cheer you up.
Maybe it's Starbucks. A grown up.
Go get you a tropical smoothie cafe.
A smoothie cane.
A smoothie cane, I'm sorry, the real one. Not the fake guy. Not the one that's just blended ice. Bye.